Upashyanam.
Upashyanam.
My mistake. Upashamam.
Upashamam.
Mitigation.
Mitigation.
Sakshat.
Sakshat.
Directly.
Bhakti
Yogam. The linking process of devotional service.
The linking process of devotional service.
Alhokshajay. Unto the transcendence. Lokasya.
Of the general mass of men.
Ajanataha. Those who are unaware of.
Vidvan.
The supremely learned.
Chakre.
Compiled.
Satpata.
In relation with the supreme truth.
Samhita.
Vedic literature. Translation, the material miseries of the living entity which are superfluous to him can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people do not know this. And therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature which is in relation to the Supreme Truth. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vyasadeva saw the all-perfect personality of Godhead. This statement suggests that the complete unit of the personality of Godhead includes his parts and parcels also. He saw, therefore, his different energies, namely the internal, the marginal, and the external energy. He also saw his different plenary portions and parts of the plenary portions, namely his different incarnations also. And he specifically observed the unwanted miseries of the conditioned souls who are bewildered by the external energy. And at last he saw the remedial measure for the conditioned souls, namely the process of devotional service. It is a great transcendental science and begins with the process of hearing and chanting the name, fame, glory, etc. of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Revival of the dormant affection or love of Godhead does not depend on the mechanical system of hearing and chanting, but it solely and wholly depends on the causeless mercy of the Lord. When the Lord is fully satisfied with the sincere efforts of the devotee, he may endow him with his loving transcendental service. But even with the prescribed forms of hearing and chanting, there is at once mitigation of the superfluous and unwanted miseries of material existence. Such mitigation of material affection does not wait for development of transcendental knowledge. Rather, knowledge is dependent on devotional service for the ultimate realization of the Supreme Truth. Verse again. Anarto pashamam sakshat bhakti yogam adhokshaje lokasya janato vidvangs chakre satvata sanghitam. The material miseries of the living entity which are superfluous to him can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service, but the mass of people do not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature which is in relation to the Supreme Truth. Om Ajnana Timurandhasya Gnanjana Salakaya Chakshura Minitam Dena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam. This is a very nice verse in the 7th chapter where Srila Vyasadeva, as the purport indicates, has just had a very transcendental vision of the form of the personality of Godhead. This vision comes just after his period of despondency, having completed the perfect wisdom presented within the Vedic literature, yet some, and doing so for the purpose of the welfare of all living beings of this age of Kali. So perfect in his motivation and perfect in his erudition, and yet despondent. How to remove such despondency was instructed by Narada. And we're hearing immediately after his transcendental vision what he then was prepared to do and the purpose of it. Because in this transcendental vision, as the purport explains, Vyasadeva experienced so many things. The verses, the two preceding verses, are identifying the vision. Verse immediately before that, he sat down in a state of trance. The Lord appeared before him, and under his full control was the feature of the Lord's energy. The very next verse indicates the Lord then saw the cause of the living entity's misery while seeing the form of the Lord. And that cause is identified as separately identifying himself, not with the Lord, but instead with being covered by an illusory conception of this gross external energy and the subtle feature of the inferior energy. This is the real despondency. Same was instructed by Narada when he first appeared, seeing Vyasadeva despondent. Oh, my dear disciple Vyas, are you despondent because you have made this gross mistake of identifying the self with the body, gross or subtle? Is this the cause of your despondency? So the cause of despondency was seen. Narada instructed, and Vyas, more than just hearing, he had this direct experience also, and saw, in fact, this purport is identifying all the features of the Lord's existence in terms of his various expansions, personal expansions, energetic expansions, and the cause of suffering for all the conditioned souls, and the remedial measure. So we were discussing in our class yesterday the Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 1 class, that was the compilation of this Srimad Bhagavatam by Vyas. Was it intended for simply the non-devotee class so that their miseries could be mitigated? Or was it because it's the Amala Purana, it is filled with perfect Uttama Shloka, it is filled with perfect verses of poetry that are understandable only by the topmost class of persons? So our conclusion was it's for both. And this is directly stated in the final verse of the preceding chapter, that when Vyas set about the compilation of Srimad Bhagavatam, this word is here in this verse, chakre, he compiled. Different than the compiling of the four Vedas, this we understand Vyas did by taking the original Veda, making it easier for everybody to understand. In this age of Kali, he divided it into four divisions, entrusted those divisions or departments to different disciples who were then responsible to preserve the integrity of those departments of knowledge and to pass on to further disciples. One of them, in fact, was Ramaharshan Sutta himself, the father of Sutta Goswami. So we know what happened to Ramaharshan Sutta. He lost his life because he didn't properly understand the conclusion. That is, the purpose of this Vedic wisdom of Srimad Bhagavatam particularly is to offer all one's service, respect, worship, praise, glorification of the personality of Godhead directly. So, the miseries in this, the whole of the Bhagavatam, of course, is to explain how to go back to Godhead. But persons who are in this unfortunate position of ignorance, just like the preceding verse is describing, the ignorance of misidentifying oneself with the external energy, that is an act of ignorance. The voluntary act, one willfully acts ignorantly, bringing about suffering. So, when that, the willful act of ignorance is checked, or this word is here, upasamam, not to be confused with upasana, or worship. Upasamam means mitigated or diminished. Those things that are causes of misery, so anartha, Prabhupada gives an interesting translation, very lightly, seemingly, calling it superfluous. Why superfluous? Why is he speaking in this way? Because in earlier portions of this canto, the miseries of the living entity are called that way. They're superfluous. They're within the mind only. At the end of the second chapter of this canto, Sutta Goswami, in one verse, states that the suffering the living entity undergoes is inspired by the Supersoul. Foolishly, the living entity is identifying with the gross and subtle body, and therefore his suffering is coming because of that identification. Supersoul is arranging the suffering, which is also illusory. As much as the self is not the body or the mind, the suffering is also illusory. It's therefore superfluous. More subtle than either these gross or subtle coverings, this earlier chapters of Bhagavatam identify. In the third chapter, just as the Lord is fully transcendental, the soul is also fully transcendental. More subtle than the subtle material covering, which is more subtle than the gross material covering. The soul is altogether more subtle. These transcendental messages are also of the same very subtle nature. Although they may appear, it's just a bunch of paper and some printer's ink. So what makes this book any different? A person with poor fund of knowledge may question. What makes Vyasadeva's writing as an author any different than any other literary composition? What is different is its direct glorification of the personality of Godhead. So, how do we know that it is any different? Just like Srila Prabhupada gives the presentation that the Maha Mantra is not like any other sound vibration. Proof? Take it. And continue chanting, and you can chant and chant and chant and never become tired of that chanting. And further, a very nice point is made in this purport, echoing what's earlier made in this chapter, or the canto. Immediately, the immediate effect that one will experience from this hearing these topics of Srimad Bhagavatam is the process of anartha nivritti begins right away. The removal of anarthas, or Jnato Upasanam, Upashamam, takes place. As Prabhupada says, it doesn't wait. The relieving of miseries does not wait for the further development of transcendental knowledge. In earlier portions of this canto, the explanation is given that by the process of devotional service, one's activities, one's duties in this world, which may be binding, become transformed into bhakti, bhakti yoga. So the binding or reactionary effect is eliminated. Moreover, concomitant knowledge also comes. So Prabhupada is saying here, one doesn't have to wait for that knowledge. One doesn't have to become a learned pundit or scholar for the effect of Srimad Bhagavatam to act. Persons in this age are very, it's already described, they're very unruly, misguided, lazy, always disturbed, very unfortunate, short duration of life, having a bad memory, having all kinds of vices and bad qualities. Not very good candidates for hearing perfect knowledge. Much like Srila Prabhupada spoke when he first arrived in the Boston Harbor, saying, how is it possible for these people who are filled with ignorance and passion to understand a message of pure goodness, Shuddha Sattva? How is it possible? It's possible because these topics of Shuddha Sattva, the topics of the personality of Godhead, are filled with transcendental potency. Another very nice reason also given in this canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is because these messages are delivered both by Vyasa and even more by Shukadeva Goswami. Because Vyasa, therefore those potencies are even more effectively experienced. Vyasa's despondency was not for some personal lacking. That's clearly established in the previous chapters. Vyasa was not lacking in anything. His despondency was not caused, and Narada confirmed it. He stated it and Narada confirmed it. There's nothing lacking in your practices. There's nothing lacking in your fulfillment of all the goals of Vedic knowledge. Something is lacking though. Vyasa had the motivation that he wanted to do that which was the best good for all living beings in this horrible age of Kali. So because of Narada's instruction, he then compiled this text. So this is the message of the first canto. It's the message of the whole 12 cantos of Bhagavatam. That transcendental literature which can simultaneously relieve the suffering of the foolish living entities who are just fruitive workers struggling in an illusory conception of life, trying to become happy where they cannot be happy because it's not their constitutional position to be happy in a place where it's filled with misery. Their suffering is mitigated, but moreover, as the process continues, there are stages that are described in the second chapter of this canto where one can come progressively, continuing to hear the same messages, gradually coming to the topmost stages of love of God. So it is meant for all personalities. Nasta prayeshu abhadreshu, just as this verse is indicating. Anartho Pashamam, so the second chapter verse is there. Abhadreshu, abhadrani, abhadras, the unwanted, same unwanted thing. Here Prabhupada is calling anarthas as superfluous, but not only superfluous, also unwanted, because it brings about misery. Anarthas in the heart bring about misery, and no one wants misery. So by regularly hearing this Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, by regularly hearing this Srimad Bhagavatam, and as Prabhupada points out in that second chapter verse, from the person Bhagavat. Both ingredients, hearing the right topics from the right person, then it becomes possible for the nasty features of this age of Kali to become something other than nasty features. For the benefit of everyone, for the benefit of the person who are taking these messages and broadcasting them, and also for the persons who hear them. Now, in the earlier, in the immediate earlier chapter, chapter 6, Vyas wants to hear from Narada what happened after the sages that he had, in the previous kalpa, the sages that he had been associating with, what happened when they left. So Narada describes also his transcendental realization, his traveling and sitting down and seeing the form of the Lord also. Then after the form of the Lord disappeared and gave some other further instruction, then what did Narada do? Same as what this particular verse is also indicating. What did Vyas do immediately after he had his perfect stage of realization? Both engaged themselves fully in the activities of broadcasting these transcendental glories. Narada did it in one way by traveling all over the universe because he is empowered with these very special abilities to do this and broadcast these messages in that way. Vyas did it in this other way by Chakre Satpata Samhitam, by compiling. So it's described, this compilation, different than the four Vedas. This compilation was, he took the cream. What's that verse? Saram, something. Anyway, so, the whole of the Vedic text, which Vyas had compiled, is considered like the milk of transcendental knowledge. And the cream of the milk is this Srimad Bhagavatam. So he extracted the cream and presented it in one text simply with the thought that this will finally be the best medicine for conditioned living entities in this world. So that the mind, which is the resting place of so many miseries, which are superfluous miseries, the mind can then instead have the transcendental engagement of hearing the topics of the personality of Godhead. This way the mind, the suffering will be mitigated. The unnecessary, unwanted suffering of the conditioned living entity is then finished. So there's another very nice point being made here also, that these topics of the personality of Godhead, one of the questions of the sages is, what was the purpose of, this is from the first chapter of this canto, what was the purpose of the Lord's incarnation? What was the Supreme Lord, not the mechanics of how did he do it, but when he came, what was his mission, or what was he trying to accomplish? So the reply is given in the second chapter that the personality of Godhead wanted, he was canvassing in this world simply to give transcendental topics for his devotees to hear and chant by his appearances. So then naturally, one of the questions is also, let us hear those topics. Because the Lord appeared, he wanted to appear for that purpose, so now let us hear them. This is what he wanted in his appearance, so now let us hear them. And simply in hearing, one then remembers, by regularly hearing these transcendental topics, one will then remember them. In the course simply of remembering the topics of the personality of Godhead, several verses in this first canto indicate, just by while performing one's regular occupational duties, the perfection of those regular occupational duties is accomplished not just by the rigorous and rigid performance of all of them, but by remembering the personality of Godhead. Then those activities are made perfect. Because the remembrance of the personality of Godhead is filled with transcendental potency. Inconceivable potency, as innocent as the act of just remembering some of Krishna's pastimes. How simple it is to do. If such great transcendental potency is there, that one's occupational duties become transformed. And Prabhupada is making that point in this purport also. So much of this first canto of the Bhagavatam is emphasizing singularly amongst all possible duties that one can perform, the activity of hearing and chanting is so important. Hearing and chanting the topics of Godhead. But, as Prabhupada is pointing out here, it is not simply the performance of that hearing and chanting activity that in and of itself delivers the transcendental position. It's not the mechanical performance, the actual physical moving of the mouth and performing of the hearing activity. But it's the mercy of the personality of Godhead that establishes one being situated in that, in the position of transcendence. This was shown by Narada and Vyas. Vyas was already the literary incarnation. In fact, when Narada came to greet Vyasadeva and dispel his despondency, he addressed him that way. I know that you're a literary incarnation, so you're an incarnation of the Lord. Therefore, what other explanation can there be for your despondency? Then you haven't fulfilled that purpose of glorification. So then, take the mercy of Krishna in its fullest way and glorify him. And as Prabhupada is indicating very succinctly in the purport, when the Lord is fully satisfied with the sincere efforts of the devotee, he may endow him with his loving transcendental service. So as we engage in our activity of sadhana, which is made up of so many activities of worship and glorification of the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Krishna, those activities alone aren't the bestower of our transcendental love. But when Krishna sees us making that endeavor to try to do it without offense, to try to do it with full attention and rapt devotion, when Krishna sees that effort, then he may bestow that loving transcendental quality again, restore it within our heart. So, even as then Prabhupada in this purport says, even the mechanical execution can very quickly dissolve unwanted miseries. It can. Potencies are there. But the real desired thing is to come to our full stage of love of Godhead. This is made possible by one thing only, the direct mercy of Krishna. But even that direct mercy of Krishna is delivered by the mercy of the Lord's devotee. This is the pastime that's being enacted here between Narada and Vyas. And the other portions of this first canto are indicating the same. One wants Krishna's mercy. That's the real thing to try for. One has to approach that by approaching his representative, his pure devotee. Just as the verse quoted, Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Service has to be rendered to the person Bhagavat in order to get the full benefit of the message of book Bhagavat. Best service is the service of hearing. But following that hearing, the execution of the instructions that come, how to correct one's life, how to act, everything all-inclusive, as Prabhupada is saying in the first sentence here. It's a great and transcendental science how this is to be accomplished. It's all there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, so we can approach with great hope and great reverence the messages of Bhagavatam and pray for the mercy of Vyasadev and Shukadev Goswami and Srila Prabhupada, who has presented this narration and commentary, so that we can get the full benefit available. So I'll end and see if there's any comments. Another thought I could pull.
You had asked in the course of your lecture, what makes this, which is composed of printer's ink and paper, different than any other book? So when you said that, I was thinking, well, that's very much akin to the question, what makes this particular formation of brass that sits on the altar different than any other formation of brass? It says, Idam Bhagavatam Nama, Kora Nam Ramasamhitam. Ramasamhitam means it's an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of God, it's Bhagavatam. So, how are we to see then? Is it that Vyasa is compiling it, or is it like Krishna appears to appear from the womb of Devaki, but that's just particular pastime for the appearance of Krishna's original form?
Why does it have to be one or the other? He's empowered to be the Devaki, to have Krishna appear in that form.
And then this special form, what threw me off a little bit was maybe by not understanding the way you're approaching that description. By saying what's special is, and of course it's true, that this deals directly with topics about the Lord. But it's also, it is the Lord.
And it's being delivered by the literary incarnation, as the comments are made. This is, one cannot, an ordinary being could not compile such poetry. So therefore, yes, it is the Lord himself. It cannot be composed by an ordinary being. The Lord is appearing, and the agency for his appearance is Vyasadeva. And moreover, to further glorify the position of the Lord's devotee, Shukadeva is the one who is particularly appreciated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, because he spoke it. That subtlety is a very important one in the whole presentation of Srimad Bhagavatam. Can you say something?
You were speaking about the importance of studying the book Bhagavad, and then also following a person's Bhagavad, the spiritual master. And could a person hypothetically, like you're studying one of the groups of Bhagavad, elevating oneself to pure Bhagavad Bhagavad, could a person perfect one of the 9 emotional processes and go back to God? We know the answer to this, yes. However, could a person do that without hypothetically a lot of guidance from the spiritual master? Like, can a devotee, for example, be in a mood more of a Bhajan Anandi, that would be great. Kirtan, Bhasi, always chanting Bhajans and knowing the focus and all that. But another active preaching mood in the normal, generally applied sense might not be so present, but could they make enough advancement to go back to God?
Well, one might look at the activities of the 6 Goswamis and see them as Bhajanandis also. Yeah, they were composing transcendental literature. And they were doing so many other things also. But looking at their activity, one may consider it, because there were no printing presses, how were those books, at the time? So what was the idea of the, they're just poets, transcendental poets, glorifying with their poetry and writing. So to answer your question philosophically, the statement is very clearly made that one, that the preaching activity, this is one of the themes of Murali's course also, preaching must be there, but preaching may take different forms. Murali Vatika Prabhu.
I just happened to come across this book this morning when I was studying.
It said, this is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Adi-lila, the first chapter, the 25th verse. One should always remember that a person who is reluctant to accept a spiritual master, the initiated, is sure to be baffled in his endeavor to go back home to Godhead.
Oh yeah, I lost track of what your initial question was. You're not just asking about someone being Bhajananandi, but someone who's not receiving guidance from a spiritual master.
I discern the person having received initiation, but they really weren't taking or receiving active guidance.
What does initiation mean? Initiation means practice, the cultivation of the mind. So you go through some ceremony.
We see in Srila Prabhupada's case with his disciples, those that are active and apparently making continued advancement don't feel Srila Prabhupada is much in a sense.
But then how is Srila Prabhupada remaining present in so many ways, including along with his books, the continued association of other disciples who are also continuing to make advancement and echoing his instructions and their realizations of his instructions and so on, and his presence is felt in that way, as much as when Prabhupada was physically present on the planet, persons who weren't in his physical presence so much were feeling his presence.
In the same way,
feeling his presence.
Prabhupada continues, maybe addresses her point to him more clearly. There's no doubt, he says, the service of the spiritual master is essential. If there is no chance to serve the spiritual master directly, the devotee should serve him by remembering his instructions. There's no difference between the spiritual master's instructions and the spiritual master himself. In his absence, therefore, his words and direction should be applied to the disciple. If one thinks that he is above consulting anyone else, including the spiritual master, he is at once an offender to the lotus feet of the Lord.
What are they going to take? Same one, Yudhisthira, please?
Yeah.
Okay. Of course, your response is a theoretical one. So philosophically, we could say, given that theoretical event, then he's continuing to be absorbed in the instructions of his spiritual master. Aside from the theoretical hypothesis, the fact from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the panacea for this age, is to be involved in the broadcasting of these messages one way or another. So naturally the instruction, I mean, we would take it hypothetically that one who had received some instruction like that from Srila Prabhupada to engage in a certain type of activity would include the idea of how that could benefit others directly or indirectly. Anything else? Anyone besides Murali? Bhagavad.
Once when I was founding Srila Prabhupada, he insisted that myself and another senior devotee sit in the room with him and listen to him preach to some other men, Indian gentlemen. After they got up and left, he was asking us why we weren't daily attending and listening to him preach to these gentlemen and learning the art of how to preach and how to teach people Christian consciousness. We had given some excuses about we were busy, this and that. He was insisting that we had to come every day and listen to him preach and learn from him the art. And he was asking us if we could quote certain verses and could quote them. He was asking why we weren't reading these books every day, so that we could memorize these verses. started telling us about his books. He said, you know, I read these books every day myself. He said, you know why I read the books every day? So we just looked at him dumbfounded and he said, because I didn't write these books. He said, in the morning, when I sit down to meditate and write these books, Krishna is directly speaking to me and I am taking dictation. And I am writing all the words that Krishna says. He said, then, when I read them later, I also get enlightened. He said, what does speed of reading? Please read my books.
I heard a similar description about Krishna book. Sitting, listening, and this is wonderful. Krishna must have written this. Something like that. Okay, Melly.
When you were speaking about hearing Bhagavatam, you made the point that you be hearing from the person Bhagavatam. So I just have a practical question. Is the fact that we don't just listen to Prabhupada's tapes during this time and then maybe have any discussion, but rather follow the procedure we do, is that simply because Prabhupada established it that way? Or if we're supposed to be hearing from the person Bhagavatam, but there are many person Bhagavatam, but sometimes I also get blessed, which is not a person Bhagavatam. So we're hearing Prabhupada's purports, but then also we're speaking. So can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, it's you've got this either or thing going on that I don't think it's an either or. Huh? Because if when Murali Vadaka Prabhu gives class, he's repeating the words of the books of Srila Prabhupada, then this is person Bhagavan. And just like we had a little lively discussion about, you know, the 18,000 verses, following from Mother Kamalini's question about the chronology of when everything was spoken and compiled and all that in Srimad Bhagavatam. So we're the same 18,000 verses, the same verses that Vyasa delivered to Shuka, Shuka spoke to Maharaj Parikshit, and then Suta Goswami heard then and spoke again to the sages of Naimisharanya, as Sariputta was commenting. That meant Shukadeva was speaking for Maharaj Parikshit, and then Maharaj Parikshit said, and Maharaj Parikshit is nodding his head, yes, that's a good thing to say. And Shukadeva narrated the whole 18,000 slokas. But rather, Shuka was speaking in choice poetry that was according to his own realization. So even in the case of the person Bhagavat in delivering from Vyas, that's Shukadeva, he's speaking a message. So our business is then to of course increase our realization of these messages, but we do so by hearing in cyclic succession. That's the emphasis strictly in the first canto, and we're out of time. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.